The relationship that I have with God is always about the closing and opening of doors. And I have my whole life never been alarmed, afraid, upset when a door closes, because I always feel like that is God kind of adjusting my path in life. I never questioned why I got cancer. And I realize now that I've had cancer and lived through it, what a tremendous blessing it was for me. The subtitle to my book is How My Cancer Banished Darkness for All Time. Once I changed my mindset and really changed how I was looking at cancer, I realized that that period in my life was so filled with blessings, so filled with people who came alongside me and walked with me and supported me and fought for me. And that was God. And so I was never upset with God.
Magnificat has changed the daily prayer life of millions of Catholics worldwide. Each monthly pocket-sized issue includes prayers for morning and evening, daily Mass prayers and readings, meditations, saints' lives, essays, and more. Magnificat helps you pray the way the Church prays. Email offers at magnificat.com to request a free copy. Visit Magnificat online by clicking the link above or below in the description, or download the app and receive a month for free. Explore Magnificat and give your prayer life the beauty it deserves. Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, Scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong, and they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Hello and welcome back to A Reason for Hope. Today we have Kristen Shreve as a guest, and she is a mother, writer, wife, and a cancer survivor. She is currently director of brand marketing and communications at the University of San Diego. Kristen, how are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me today, Mario.
Yeah. No, it's our pleasure. I don't think we've had someone on this show the 5 years that we've been doing this that is actually a cancer survivor that we acknowledged. I'm a cancer survivor too. I don't know if you know that.
No. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. So I have some really things that I'd like to share and distinctive things that I want to ask you. So tell me a little bit about your cancer, and what were you diagnosed? What kind of cancer was it?
So I was diagnosed on October 5th, 2023 with colon cancer. And I found out after doing my very first colonoscopy and was a little shocked as I was coming to after the procedure to find out that the doctor saw what he thought was cancer, and the biopsy proved that he was right in his original assessment. Turns out it was stage 3 cancer. So I just had my surgery on November 8th of 2023 and just celebrated the 1 year anniversary of that surgery, and am proud to say I'm now cancer free.
Wow. And you said October 5th? Did you say?
Yes.
That's my birthday. It's pretty crazy.
That's your birthday?
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, it's my birthday. It's also the feast day of a patron saint that we work with here, Sister Faustina. Interesting things are lining up right now.
Yeah, well, I'll always remember your birthday now.
I was diagnosed with cancer over 30 years ago, as a matter of fact.
See, that gives me hope. It gives me hope to hear that.
Yeah. So did you go through the whole thing? Did you lose your hair? And were you nauseous and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I did go through a lot of those traditional symptoms that you see and hear about when you think about the cancer story. In my case, I didn't lose my hair. My oncologist did warn me that it was going to get a little thin, but he did assure me that I wouldn't lose all of it. So I was lucky in that particular regard. I did 4 rounds of chemo, a total of 6 months. They had to kind of adjust the process midway through. I was originally supposed to be doing chemo for 12 weeks and ended up doing it for 24 weeks.
I had chemo as well. I had chemo for 4 months. Back then, 30 years ago, it was you'd go into the hospital and they'd hook you up, you know, with an IV, and you were on for 5 days, and then they give you a 3-week break, and then you go back on for another 5 days. Wow. And did that for 4 months, which was pretty crazy.
It's pretty brutal.
And you said you did have radiation?
With colon cancer, you don't traditionally have to go through radiation, because often they are able to remove the entire section of the colon where the tumor is. And so your tumor isn't touching another portion of your body, and so they don't necessarily have to do radiation.
So your cancer did not spread to any other area but your colon. It hadn't gone into lymph nodes or anything like that.
So part of what they do when they stage your cancer is the surgeon removes the entire portion of your colon where the cancer is located, and then she removed everything that was tied to that particular portion. So all of the blood vessels, all of the lymph nodes. They did pull 19 lymph nodes and tested everything. And of those 19 lymph nodes, 1 was positive for cancer. And so it was that in part that made them determine that I was stage 3.
Let me ask you, so as a release, you wrote this book. And I'm assuming it was a release. It was a way of a coping mechanism for you. It was a way for you to get out and share what you were experiencing. Tell us a little bit about, you know, that period in your life and the book and how that evolved.
Yeah, I am a writer by trade. I was a journalism major and spent many years as a newspaper reporter and editor. And so writing is just something that helps me with a lot of things, helps me untangle my thoughts. In this case, I decided, even though I had never journaled before in my life, to start a journal as a way to kind of record some of the things that doctors were telling me so that I could keep things straight, be able to relay that news back to my loved ones, but also just a way to kind of, as you said, be a release for me. And so this book started out as journal entries, started out as prayers, started out as texts to my mom and my sister and my girlfriends. I never really intended for it to become a book. For Mother's Day, though, my mom had asked me to give her a full collection of everything that I had written, because she had saved things along the way and wasn't sure that she had everything. And so I started collecting everything, putting it back in chronological order. And then I thought, well, maybe I should add an intro. Maybe I should flesh this part out a little. Maybe I should add some photos. And before I knew it, it turned into a book.
And tell me a little bit about the title, Love and Light.
Love and Light. Yes. So, you know, in the earliest days of my diagnosis, the minute the doctor said the word cancer, I felt like darkness came upon me. And it was a sad time. It was a scary time. It was a dark time, very briefly. And I was, you know, thinking difficult thoughts and thinking about my daughters and writing letters to them that my family members could share with them at key milestones in their life. And I had just taken my younger daughter, Mia, to college, at the University of San Diego where I work. And I thought, I don't know if I'm still going to be around when she graduates from college. So I started writing letters to both of my girls. And then I talked to a friend who was telling me about the Quakers and the Quakers' tradition and belief to hold people up in love and in light. And that little phrase just kind of stayed with me, and that thought and that mindset stayed with me. And I thought, rather than looking at cancer through this lens of darkness, I really want to be intentional about now looking at it through the lens of light and especially love and light. And it changed my whole perspective. It changed my entire experience. And so that's how I titled the book, Love and Light.
How did God play a part in that regarding, you know, the component of light, seeking hope and a positive outlook that you're protected? We want to share a little bit of that.
Absolutely. You know, my faith has always been a huge part of who I am, a huge part of how I live my life. At the University of San Diego, where I've worked for 24 years, this year we're celebrating our 75th anniversary, and our theme is lighting the way forward. So we've been talking a lot about the idea of light and God as light and God lighting the path and being a lamp unto our feet. And so that concept has always been with me, but this year in particular was very strong. I had been planning the institutional marketing plan for 2024 back in 2023 when I was diagnosed. And so I feel really lucky that all these things that we've been talking about at the university, I was able to live and experience in my own life leading into this year.
I'm sure there must have been, I know, reflecting upon my own personal experience, I think that period in your life, were you frantic? Were you busy? Were you not even thinking about the possibility of getting cancer? I mean, we never do, right? It just happens. But tell me a little about right before you were diagnosed with cancer. What was your life like?
So I turned 50 during the pandemic. And at the time, 50 was the age that you were supposed to go and get your colonoscopy. And I had received in the mail from my doctor one of those kits that you're supposed to send in ahead of time. And I set it aside, didn't do anything about it. The pandemic was crazy, as we all know. I had one daughter who was graduating from high school. The other daughter was actively involved in the National Charity League with me, which is an amazing national mother-daughter organization. And I had also, during the pandemic, moved in with a loved one and spent the final 3 months of his life with him. And so getting my colonoscopy was not something that was on my mind. And before I knew it, 2 years had passed and I was late. And when I finally did get my colonoscopy, the doctor had said that if I had waited 2 more weeks, it would not have gone well for me. So I'm really lucky that I did it when I did, but there was a period at the beginning where I was truly kicking myself for not taking the time 2 years prior to do it and hopefully catch it early. So one of my biggest messages is for people to get their colonoscopies and be willing to talk about this thing that, you know, might be embarrassing to talk about.
Did you ever question, you know, were you angry, question God, like, you know, why? Was there any kind of resentment regarding, like, I can't believe this is happening in my life right now? Did you go through any kind of turmoil within yourself, wondering, like, you know, what the heck is happening here?
You know, it's funny. The relationship that I have with God is always about the closing and opening of doors. And I have my whole life never been alarmed, afraid, upset when a door closes, because I always feel like that is God kind of adjusting my path in life. I never questioned why I got cancer. And I realize now that I've had cancer and lived through it, what a tremendous blessing it was for me. The subtitle to my book is How My Cancer Banished Darkness for All Time. Once I changed my mindset and really changed how I was looking at cancer, I realized that that period in my life was so filled with blessings, so filled with people who came alongside me and walked with me and supported me and fought for me. And that was God. And so I was never upset with God.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, for me, I was at a period in my life where I was very frantic. I was self-employed. I ran a business. I was all immersive in my own sort of career. I had a family. And for me, I at first I was angry. I was like, you know, what's going on? How could you, you know, how can you do this? You know, and at the time, my relationship with God was just not a strong one. I sometimes doubted whether he even existed. And but, you know, in hindsight, looking back, there was a period where I realized that, you know, there's God's permissive will. You know, sometimes you wonder, like, why does God allow certain things? Why does God allow death, illness, suffering? But there's always a reason why God permits us to experience this. And there's always a greater good, as you just shared. And in that period of my life, it was really a point where God was saying, hey, you know, stop. Take a look around what's going on. Take a look at all the beauty that you have, the gifts that you have, and you can get through this if you focus on me, you know. And it was sort of my first introduction to God's immense power and grace for me in my life. And it was, it changed my trajectory, I have to say, although it was very tragic and very difficult and it almost killed me. It was really a point in my life where, you know, God really stepped in. So I share this, and as you did, that, you know, people that are experiencing suffering through cancer or even wondering, you know, how can this happen to me? We don't see or recognize the things that God does not allow because it doesn't happen, right? So we always wonder, you know, how could God allow this, right? But we don't see the things that he doesn't allow because he stepped in, right? But the things that he does allow, as I shared with you, right, it's his permissive will, and there's always a greater good. There's always a reason. There's always something that we can learn from, as you shared. So, you know, maybe you can share, you know, I forget what you said, the subtitle of your book, because it should have articulates the meaning and purpose of your experience.
Yeah, the subtitle of my book is How My Cancer Banished Darkness for All Time. And like
amazing.
I said, I've just been so careful to keep that feeling of light and not let the darkness take over. I was born super early. I was born in July. I was supposed to be born in September. Very premature. My lungs were not fully developed. And on the day that I was born, they thought that I was going to die. And so I have faced death a few times. And one of the things that I do struggle with is wondering, what is my purpose in life? You know, I feel like God has spared me more than once. And so I'm still trying to figure out what do I do with that now? How do I make good on this life that God has made sure that I have? And one of the things that I told myself at the beginning of this journey when I was first diagnosed was I'm giving all of this experience to God. I am laying it at the foot of the cross, and I claimed my full recovery for God. And so now that I have recovered, my goal, my mission is to share that story not for myself, but to show God's power in my life.
Magnificat has changed the daily prayer life of millions of Catholics worldwide. Each monthly pocket-sized issue includes prayers for morning and evening, daily Mass prayers and readings, meditations, saints' lives, essays, and more. Magnificat helps you pray the way the Church prays. Email offers at magnificat.com to request a free copy. Visit Magnificat online by clicking the link above or below in the description, or download the app and receive a month for free. Explore Magnificat and give your prayer life the beauty it deserves. The Brown Scapular is a special Catholic devotional. Invest in a scapular that is as strong as your devotion. At scapulars.com, they use super strong American-made paracord because your scapular should be as strong as your devotion. They also use the finest Australian merino wool that feels like a warm hug from your Heavenly Mother. You'll also find handmade rosaries with our distinctive deliverance cross, Italian-made saint medals, keychains, and jewelry. Visit the link above or below in the description to get yourself one of the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world.
And so that's part of why I wrote the book and part of why I'm sharing it here in this particular form.
Mm-hmm. So you're using your circumstance as a witness, you know, that, you know, God is powerful, God is merciful, and God is beautiful, you know, which is really something that I think when people are confronted with a tragedy such as cancer, that need to look at that, that there certainly is hope, right? There certainly is an opportunity to discover parts of yourself that you never really knew. God is always presenting challenges indirectly in our life, right? Where to grow deeper in our relationship with Him and to strengthen our own spiritual walk and journey, however He sees fit. And we have to trust that, right, Kristen?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You mentioned, I don't know if it was in the book, but I read it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is one of your favorite scripture passages, and it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You want to share a little bit why that's so important to you?
Absolutely. So my mom was 20 years old when she had me, and that day that I was born was a crazy day for her. And she assigned me a Bible verse. She assigned a Bible verse to all my siblings. And this particular Bible verse is actually the Bible verse that belongs to my youngest brother. His name is CJ. And it's always been one of my favorites and was something that gave me a lot of hope during my cancer journey. I said that Bible verse every day on my phone. There's an alarm for 4:13 p.m. and it's titled Philippians 4:13. I just realized my lighting is. And I have a ring that's engraved with Philippians 4:13 that someone sent to me. And my some of my closest friends here in Poway, where I live, started praying for me every day at 4:13 p.m. And sometimes they would call and they would text and share those prayers. And it was just so powerful to know the role that that verse played in this journey.
You sort of have a very... I have to be honest with you, I didn't read the whole book. I was skimming through it, and you have sort of, I don't want to say sarcastic, but you have a very light sort of humorous and intentional lightness to the way you write. Just reading that flavor gives people a little bit of like, oh, it's kind of cool. It's not as heavy as I would think, and it gives people some optimism. You want to share a little bit about your approach?
Yeah, I think because in this particular case, it really did start as journal entries and texts that I was sending to my parents and to my friends. And so you really get to see through those real life uncensored texts, my personality, my sense of humor. And I do think rather than sitting in that dark, heavy place that some people do when they're diagnosed with cancer, because I was trying to be so careful about being optimistic and having faith and, you know, having that confidence that I would get through this, I did try to keep it light. And so people could, you know, feel that sense of humor. And it's very, there are parts of it that are pretty irreverent. It's got a few curse words here and there because it was, you know, real life conversations that I was having with those who are closest to me.
So I want to ask you this question. So in your book, you share kintsugi. Kintsugi is a Japanese art form which involves repairing broken pottery or glass with gold. And you created some sort of an analogy in your own life or where the gold is. Maybe you could share a little about how you put back the pottery in your own life.
Right. So kintsugi is this beautiful form of art where instead of tossing away broken pottery, they put it back together, and they put it back together using gold. And that gold that they put in those cracks and in those crevices is stronger. And in the end, that piece of pottery is stronger than it was before it broke, and in a way is more beautiful than it was before it broke. And so, you know, to think of that year, 2023, I talk about how difficult that was and how broken at times I felt. But to know that God came in and God was able to strengthen me and make me better than I was before, make me stronger than I was before, and hopefully, you know, even more beautiful than I was before. And so it makes you not worry about the cracks and the crevices. And to know that if there is a tiny little crack, well, that's how the light gets through.
Do you recall when you were going through, I guess, the chemo and what was your prayer life like? Were you praying every day? Were you asking God for strength? Maybe you could share with our viewers and listeners what that looked like.
Yeah, I've prayed a lot. I've always prayed, but I do think that this particular time in my life, I prayed harder than I've ever prayed before. I prayed for strength. I prayed for wisdom. I prayed that God would spare me, that He would get me through this. I prayed a lot for my family. I was very concerned about what would happen if I did pass. And, you know, my girls are still young. My girls still have their whole lives ahead of them. So a lot of times I prayed for them and for those people that I love just as much, if not more, than praying for myself.
I think when I was experiencing, I was in my 30s, you know, I'm trying to remember and reflect what my prayer life was. And I think I was praying just like, you know, God, get me through this kind of a thing, you know, help me. But I think in hindsight, let's say if I had received cancer today, you know, I would ask the Lord to certainly offer my suffering up to people that I love, you know, to offer my experiences to pour grace upon my family members, but also teach me, what is it that you want me to learn, Lord, in this experience? Is this something that you want me to get better at? You want me to something to be more appreciative toward? I think these are things that when we're self-absorbed in our own misery, our own suffering, we forget that we can use that not only to help and glorify our family members, but we can also learn from it and become better. Even if we were, even if our cancer is terminal, maybe there's someone out there that's listening and experiencing a terminal illness. There's always a purpose and a reason why God is allowing it to happen in our own lives. It might be the end of our journey, right? But there's a purpose that can help and fulfill and heal maybe family members around you. Maybe there's something else that you can learn right before your own personal passing. So I shared it, what's on my heart, because I think God uses everything, right, Kristen? It's just God is amazing. And the reality is that there is an end to our life here on earth, whether it's through cancer or just old age or an accident. And it even gives us an opportunity to really be grateful at all times, right? To be in the moment, that every day is a gift. Every moment is an opportunity to love someone or share love with someone, right? Your thoughts?
So when I was first diagnosed, one of the first people that I thought about was my cousin who passed away from colon cancer years prior at the age of 49. And he lived 7 months. I had a few other friends who also passed away from different kinds of cancer, and each of them survived 7 months. And the doctors never really gave me any kind of timeline, but I thought, okay, if I only have 7 months, that gets me through the month of May. And so in my mind, every day since the end of May has been a gift. And I don't know that it was good to think of it that way, healthy to think of it that way. And I did kind of let go of that timeline after the whole concept of, you know, lifting someone up in love and light. I was able to let go of that timeline. But in those early days, that was all I could think about. And I thought, okay, you know, if I can just get Mia through her first year of college, that'll be okay. But yeah, I love the idea that you're saying where you're really asking God to teach you what it is that he wants you to learn in this experience. And I think for me, it was just maintaining a positive attitude and then now paying it forward. So my main goal in every conversation that I have about my colon cancer is to encourage people to get their colonoscopies. That's my main concern. When they read the book, I want them to finish it and think, okay, that doctor's appointment that I've been putting off, that phone call that I've been avoiding, it's time to make the call. It's time to set that appointment. It's time to get my colonoscopy. And so I have had several people who've told me after the fact, I just want to let you know I got my colonoscopy. And I celebrate that now every time someone shares that with me.
I think every bit of life, whenever we hit a stumbling block or whenever we hit a circumstance that's uncomfortable or a tragedy, God is always offering us an opportunity to learn from the experience. And I think even if we all say at that moment, hey, God, what is it that you want me to understand better here? It just the words, expressing those words changes our perspective of the very experience that we're experiencing, right? It's right. Like there's a purpose, there's a reason. What is it that you want me to understand? What is it you want me to learn? How can I improve myself? It changes perspective. It really does. I don't know if it's psychological or it's just the power of that prayer, that question, that invoking God into that moment is super, super powerful. So I want to ask you, the name of the podcast called It's a Reason for Hope. You know, what is your reason for hope?
My reason for hope is knowing that no matter what happens, I'm not alone. In this particular case, I had so many family members and so many friends who came alongside me. But I knew that there were parts of this journey that I would have to do by myself. But when I stop to think about it, I know that God is always there and I'm really not alone. And so that gives me comfort. That gives me hope that in the darkest moments, in the moments where you feel the most alone, where you are kind of the most scared, you know that you're not alone. God is with you, and God will see you through it. And that gives me tremendous hope, no matter what.
That's absolutely beautiful. I think we all forget that we're not alone. God is always, always with us. I have to share a little story. So I have five kids, and my middle daughter, Nicole, when she was really young, after I had my cancer, many years after, because she was born after I had had cancer and survived that. She must have been maybe 4, 5, 6 years old. And we, you know, every summer we go on the beach as if, you know, we rent the house and we go down the Jersey Shore. And I remember one day we were playing in the sand. And then I told my wife, yeah, I'm going to go for a walk and just, you know, just I like going for a walk on the beach. And then my daughter Nikki says, well, Dad, are you going alone? Like, well, yeah, I said, and I don't remember even, she always brings this up. And I said to her, you know, I'm going to get emotional. She said, I said to her, I'm never alone, Nikki. I'm never alone, you know, because it was that moment years later in my life that I realized I'm never alone. God is always protecting us. So I want to share that, you know, even in our darkest moments, even in our most tragic times in our life, we are never alone. We have to remember that God loves us so much and wants to be part of our suffering and unite ourselves with Christ's suffering that we can get through anything. You know, you've been a pleasure. What is it that you want to share with our audience? Let us know how we can get your book. Give us that information.
So my book is available on Amazon. It launched on November 8th, which is the 1 year anniversary of my surgery. And I think I would say if I had some pieces of advice to share with your audience, it would be number one, get your colonoscopies. Number two, really treasure those people that you love the most. And number three, you know, take every opportunity in those moments of darkness yet to come to turn toward the light and to embrace the love.
Amen. And that light is God, of course. And that love is God, of course. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. We wish you all the best and God bless you. Peace.
Thanks so much, Mario. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for joining us here for this Reason for Hope podcast. In case you didn't know, we do a lot more than just produce podcasts here at A Ray of Hope. We have a variety of ways that we evangelize through our culture through high-quality media and events. Click on the link above or below in the description, which will direct you right to our website where you can see the many ways that we're able to help you and your church community grow deeper in our Catholic faith. Until next time, peace.